fourth Mishnayos of the fourth Perek state the following. In Bevakin Eitzim, that we don't cut wood on Yantif, even though wood can be of very obvious and direct use in Ochel Nefesh, lo min hakoros, certainly not from a constructed edifice where we would have issues of stiras habinyan, velo min hakorosh and nishbara biyantif, and not even from a beam that was part of a structure but broke on yantif, because clearly it wasn't min hamuchan. You never thought that you would be using this on yantif. If it broke before yantif, that could be a different story, but then how would you cut it? How would you sever that wood? Velo mevakin lo v'kardom, not with a regular axe, velo v'megera, velo v'magal, not with a sickle, elo bekofitz, with a meat cleaver. So using a meat cleaver on wood is enough of a shinoi that everybody recognizes this isn't an uvda dechol, this isn't a zilzul yantif, and it's a sufficient shinoi, it's sufficient change to be able to reflect that. Bayeshu male peros, when you have a home which is filled with produce, and let's say there's some concern about the viability of that produce in that home, or simply one wants to be able to extract it. Sasum v'nifchas. So you have the home which is not accessible, and you want to be able to get in. You're obviously not allowed to take apart a building on Shabbos and on Yantif, even though it seems here that it's for purposes of Ochel Nefesh. So if there's a place where there's like a hole in the structure, you can reach through and get a pri. No, tell me makom hapchas. Rabbi Meir is an even more radical shiter. Af poches lechatchila v'notel. Since it's lochal nefesh, since you're trying to get the produce which is inside, you can actually remove a brick. Now, Rabbi Meir's shita isn't quite that radical because he's not saying that you're allowed to, like, you know, take a sledgehammer to the building. So this is in a situation where there isn't any mortar. The bricks are simply just put on top of each other, so it's not actually going to be an act of construction. Mishnah Dal tells us in poschen es ha'ner, that's considered tikkun mana, that you would take like an egg and, you know, punch your way through it so that the shell serves as an oil reserve base. Then you'd stick a wick in that you can't form on yantif. Nidnei shuosa kli v'noisim pechamin b'yantif. We don't deliberately make charcoal on yantif. In choschen es haptila l'shnayim, and we're not allowed to cut. A wick into two. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, and this we accept the halacha, chotcha ve'or l'shtei neros. So what you can do is you can take a long wick, as wicks are, before you get them in a commercial setting. Wicks can be very, very, very long. If you've ever seen candles produced, sometimes they'll take you, I remember as a school child, they taking a trip to see, you know, ancient candle making, which is very fascinating, but also a heavy-duty experience on the nose that I remember very, very well. So you have these long wicks. So what you could do is you could put one end and the other end in each, let's say, candle holder, and it's a supply of oil, and you could light the fire directly into the middle. So what will happen is that there will be a singeing of the wick, and then it will separate into two parts. So that's a way to render it efficacious for use, because that's a very abnormal way of cutting the wick. Normally the wick would be cut using some kind of scissors or scissor-like device. So actually burning it into two pieces is considered perfectly acceptable, just like we talked about before, using a meat cleaver on wood. So here again, this isn't in any way the regular fashion, and that will be, in this case, exactly what is needed. Sometimes, I guess you could say the motif that's emerging here is that which is strange is not necessarily wrong. Maybe that's exactly what makes it right.